Today is session 16 of the Identify Your Ideal Career Path Coaching Group. It is July 2nd, and so far we have Alexandra, Michael, and who else has joined us?
Angie.
Angie is on the call, too. Has anyone else joined us? Okay. I know Kelly is not going to be here today, so we're looking for Stacy, LaToya, and Paul, see what the deal is if they come. All right, so Michael, I think that sounds great. Michael applied for an FBI job, Angie. That's what he was talking about.
Okay.
Very. You would be doing security?
Well, the job is like a staff operations specialist. So I would be with the field investigation group, like preparing cases, identifying leads, making sure that the leads are, have value and have credibility, and trying to develop and create courses of actions for cases.
Well, that sounds really cool.
It does sound very cool.
Did you see your uncle was in the security business, or you had mentioned your uncle was in a line of business that was connected to something you were interested in? I wasn't sure if it was security.
Yeah, well, similar. He was in the HR side of, Choice Point, First Advantage, okay, which is big background screening companies.
Okay.
So similar. I guess you can call that security, but I don't know if he did any hands-on with it. He was mainly HR.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to take it to a new level.
Yes.
If you get the job.
We'll see. I'm trying new things. Did both send off an electronic version of my resume and cover letter,
mm-hmm,
and send off a physical one.
Cool.
Without folding it, because I was told not to fold my resume nowadays.
That sounds kind of unreal. Well, you could. I don't think that's... It looks nicer, but I don't think that's a hard and fast rule.
Well, the reason they say it is, because most people, they will scan it once they receive it.
Right.
And if it's all wrinkled up or folded, sometimes it doesn't scan well.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, hey, you might as well try all angles.
I'm trying something new.
Yeah, put it in a big envelope. I like it. Works for me. Might as well try it.
So.
Cool. Angie, did you have your informational interview yet?
Not yet. Work has kind of interfered with being able to schedule the time to do it.
Yeah, this work thing is kind of a pain in the butt, isn't it?
Yeah, it does kind of get in the way. I wish I could do this full time. It's someone at the CDC who worked in the university setting beforehand.
Perfect.
And she does regulatory affairs or related to that. UGA has a program in regulatory affairs that she completed. So it's that kind of systems, business analyst type work that, could be a fit for me.
That is so great. So I want to just say a couple things from both of you guys just for learning for everybody. So for Angie, you have found somebody to do an informational interview with who is coming from your background, university type, mm-hmm, of environment, and going into the one that you possibly want to work in.
Exactly.
So that is really perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. Plus, she does something in the area that you want to do, beyond CDC. It's this analytical analyst work. So pump her for information. And remember, and this goes for everybody, when you get contacts like this that are such a home run and a head-on hit for, what you're wanting to do or considering, make sure you really nurture those leads. So Angie, talk to her, but also ask her if you can keep in touch.
Okay.
And say, can I continue to keep in touch with you when I have questions or anything else? Because you really want to nurture these leads, especially ones that are going to be this helpful.
Okay.
So that's awesome. Kudos to you for that. And remember, like, go back to the career model and everything that we've talked about in order to formulate your questions for her. Okay? And so this goes for everybody. Whenever you're doing an informational interview and talking to someone about what they do to find out if it's a fit for you, formulate your questions based on what you now know about yourself. Is it going to be the right work environment? What kind of environment is it? I know what kind of environment I need, so is this the right place to go? Okay? That can help you formulate very specific questions to get the information you need. So good for you. And I think, Michael, just to build on your example of you're really thinking out of the box, I think, in terms of what you want to be doing. And I like that, and here's why. Because when you sent me your list of things, you know, credit union, you know, and still working at a credit union, that's not your dream job, I don't think. I mean, you want to do entertainment venue, as we've talked about. And so thinking out of the box more and being a little bit more flexible in what you want to do, like, I think that this FBI job, it could lead you, like, it'll give you experience that would be more relevant to the entertainment industry than just working at a credit union. So it's kind of like you're not settling for, well, I'm just going to do the same thing that I've been doing. You want to really look towards a short-term career option that can lead you to your long-term goal. And we're going to talk about that more today. But I think that's why I'm really glad that you're thinking out of the box, Michael, because just saying, well, okay, I'll go take a credit union job, you could. I mean, to pay your bills, sometimes we just have to be practical, right? But if there's something else that would move you towards your end goal and your dream, that would be even better. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I just wanted to kind of summarize those two things so that it's a learning for everybody here, okay? And, Alexandra, we'll pick up on something from you, too, so don't feel left out. We're going to keep going, but there'll be something for you, too, I'm sure. Okay, so today we're talking about creating empowering beliefs for yourself to help propel you through your career transition with confidence, and we're going to talk about confidence as well. And then the second thing we're discussing is planning. What do you need to be doing now that we're getting close to the end of our group? What do you need to be doing for the next 3 months and until the end of this year to move forward towards your dream career? So for homework last time, I asked you to look at and think about empowering beliefs and narrowing down your career ideas. And I also talked last time, I mentioned that we discussed today getting support. And I've changed that on the agenda. We're going to talk about that next time, building your dream team and getting support for your transition. So we're going to talk about that next time instead because I think it makes more sense this way. So, okay, let's go to successes, learning, and challenges. I mean, we kind of did that a little bit with Michael and Angie. But does any of you guys, do you have any successes that you want to share or challenges, any questions that you have before we move into the meat of today? Any questions?
This is Angie. I did apply for a government position and wasn't considered. So I went through the process of getting the materials in, which was a good exercise and it's lengthy. But that particular position, you know, didn't come through.
Okay. And are you okay with that?
It didn't feel like it was in healthcare, and it was kind of inventory management, so it has some of those systems-related components, but I don't feel like, you know, I was disappointed in a way that, you know, there aren't other positions. It did get me into the system, and getting all the material together, that application process is so different. Mm-hmm. So now I feel like I can manage that a little faster.
Good. So bottom, go ahead.
And there's another position that has a deadline on the 15th that I'm working towards now.
Oh, wonderful. And now that you know the process, you can move through it more quickly for yourself, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Angie. That's great, because I want to reiterate for everybody, too, that remember when Stacy said this last time, there's no harm in applying. Like, we don't want to you don't want to waste your time applying for jobs that aren't a fit and, you know, are clearly out in left field. But like Angie is pointing out here, you're going to learn from it regardless. And you'll learn even more if you get an interview. So I say go for it. Don't hesitate to apply for things, because part of it is a learning experience as well. Learning more about the process, getting interview practice, and learning more about that industry. All good things. Okay? Good, thanks. Any other questions or successes or learnings?
That's also why I applied for the FBI, is to practice, because I figured that if I could make it through their interviewing process, I could make it through any interview process.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
I have to, you know, do a thorough background check, investigation, and polygraph, and all the other stuff.
Wow, yeah.
So and I figured that was the best way to get some interview practice.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect. And when you think about it, I mean, it would be ideally, it would be nice to go into your quote-unquote ideal job interview having already done a few interviews. You know, you kind of don't want that first one to be like cold turkey, the first one that you've done in a while. So it's really nice to have a few under your belt, because then you feel like, okay, I've done this a few times. And you can perform that much better. So that's perfect. Good. All right, so let's move to empowering, disempowering and empowering beliefs. And this started on, this was on page 23 of the workbook. So first of all, let's talk about this for a second. Do you guys, how would you define disempowering beliefs? What would you say that means? Just give me a quick definition.
Would these be more gremlins?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And say more about gremlins, Alexandra. Like, what are gremlins?
Well, I've been having some lately, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay. And what is it? Define gremlins.
Gremlins are ideas that prevent you from moving forward and believing in yourself and just get you down.
Yeah. So gremlins are the people that give us our disempowering beliefs, right, that say these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a disempowering belief is exactly what it means or says. It's a belief that disempowers you. It takes away your power. So it's a belief that is negative, that holds you back, that tells you why I can't have that job. I don't have the experience. This is never going to happen. The economy is in the tank. All of this stuff is stuff that they are disempowering beliefs that will only serve to hold you back, okay? I want to say something. There's a caveat about these. With my example about the economy being in the tank, when you have a disempowering belief that's actually accurate or true, like, yeah, the economy isn't so good right now, it's sometimes harder to negate those or change them around because they're based in reality, right? So what you need to do is remember that it's not about pretending like reality isn't reality. When you're creating your new empowering beliefs, it's not about pretending like, oh, everything is great and the economy is wonderful. It's about changing your perspective on the economy, or if you don't have this particular job experience or something like that, and saying, I'm not going to let this hold me back and keep me down. It's not about ignoring reality. It's about not letting that stand in your way towards getting what you want. Does that make sense to you guys? Give me a yes or no if it does or doesn't.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So you have to keep this in mind when you're creating your new empowering beliefs, that you can't just say, well, the economy is great, everything will be fine, because that's not true, okay? You can say, despite the tough economy, everything will be fine, and I'm going to figure this out. That would be a better empowering belief, because you're acknowledging reality, but you're turning it around for yourself to make it more positive. So why are these important? Let's talk about this for a second. So why are disempowering beliefs and creating new beliefs for yourself that are more positive, Why is this important, guys?
I think
I would like to start attacking the disempowering and changing your beliefs step by step.
Okay, good. So you need to start attacking them and changing them.
Yeah, just doing small things to start changing that belief.
Great. And Angie, I heard you too. What were you going to say?
I think they tend to play in your head, and they're disempowering you even when you don't realize it. So unless you replace it with something consciously, there's a chance that you don't even realize you're holding yourself back.
Yeah. So if you keep listening to these consciously or subconsciously, it's going to keep you in the same place, isn't it?
Right.
Okay, good. So, Angie, you helped describe why it was important. That's perfect. And, Michael, you took us to how to deal with them, which is perfect. So let's look at what you guys did for homework in terms of identifying your disempowering beliefs and then starting to turn them around, okay? So, Alexandra, did you do the homework?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so to give us an example of a disempowering belief that you came up with, let's start there.
Well, let's see. Believing that I won't be able to do well in grad school. That's one disempowering belief. That maybe I'm not smart enough to pursue the careers that I want to do, not getting ahead.
All right, so if we were to summarize this, I hear two things. I won't be able to do well because I'm not smart enough. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
If we were to bottom line it. Okay, when this plays in your head when you hear this, how does it make you
feel? Pretty crappy.
Yeah.
I mean, that I can't succeed, that I'll disappoint myself and other people, you know. I'll just be wasting people's time.
Yeah. Okay, so I want you guys to notice what we're going to do with Alexandra's belief real quick here. So it makes you feel crappy. It makes you feel like you can't do it, right?
Sure.
And how do you, if you listened to this, how would you behave as a result of this belief? What would happen?
I probably wouldn't apply myself. I mean, or, you know, I'm studying for the GRE now, but if I have these negative thoughts constantly, I'm not going to do well on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you lose confidence, then you lose your ability to further yourself. So
yeah, it goes in the tank,
especially
right?
With test taking.
Yeah, you need to have a lot of confidence with that. So
like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It is. It is, isn't it? So that's a key point here, that if you listen to these guys, it will become self-fulfilling in some way, okay? So this is how you behave as a result of it, or if you were to listen to this on a regular basis. So, Alexandra, what evidence do you have of its truth? Is this true? Are you not smart enough? Do we need to just quit today and pack our bags?
No.
Okay. So what do you want to see? We know that this is not true. What do you need to do? What's your new belief that you came up with? Go there instead. Forget the doing part. Go to the new belief that you came up with. Did you come up
with that I can do it and I should just stop making excuses? Other people have overcome much greater obstacles than me having doubts about my GPA and in college, and I just need to prove myself.
Good. I love it. Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to shorten it right now for us. So look at everything that you just said and come up with a quick, punchy, powerful statement that nips it in the bud. Nothing like pressure, right?
I can be successful in academics.
And is that true? Do you believe it?
Yes.
Okay, that's what's key. So the litmus test here, guys, is when you say your new empowering belief, do you actually believe it and does it make you feel good? If it does, then you're on the right track. Okay, good. So, Alexandra, where are you going to put this? Because we need a structure for your new empowering beliefs. Where do you need to put this so that you remind yourself of it on a regular basis?
Maybe by my bed. Maybe on the, I don't know.
Pick one.
On the refrigerator.
Okay, let's try fridge, just like Michael did. So let's try refrigerator, and if you need to move it, you can. But you, what you just said, the quick and punchy, it goes on your fridge.
Okay.
Do this also with any other disempowering beliefs that you came up with, but I wanted to practice with one, okay? So look at what we did here, guys. This goes for everybody. And thank you, Alexandra, for participating. You look at identify your disempowering belief, so look at what it is. Think about how this makes you feel. How does it get in your way? And how do you behave as a result if you kept listening to this? And the third step is, well, actually there's four. So the third step is, what evidence do you have of its truth? Is it true? And it probably isn't, right? And then the fourth step is to come up with your new empowering belief. So, Michael, did you do this?
Well, yeah, you got a few in the email.
Okay, so tell me, bottom line, tell me your disempowering belief and your new empowering belief to counteract it.
Well, one of the biggest ones right now is my disempowering belief is that I don't have enough managerial experience for the jobs that I want.
Okay. And is this true?
Depends.
Okay. Say more.
Educational. I just went through an executive MBA program with, you know, other executives that are in their big careers.
So you have that.
So I have that.
Okay.
World experience. I have zero. When they say how many people have you managed before on applications, I have to put zero.
Right. Okay. So this one is a little tricky because there's a little bit of both.
Yes.
Okay. So there's a little bit of truth here. So what did you come up with for your new empowering belief?
That, well, it's tricky. I got to do how to do it or whatever.
Okay, so let's help them out, guys. So Alexandra and Angie, what would you say to Michael as a new empowerment?
This is Angie. What came to mind was one empowering belief might be, I know that I have the education and qualifications to manage people well, given the opportunity. So you look for the opportunity.
Okay. Michael, what do you think? I like it.
That's actually very well. That's actually what I've been trying to promote in my objective statements on my resume is that I'm looking for the opportunity to emphasize my education.
Good.
In a managerial role.
I love it. Okay, so you can almost lift what you said in your cover letters or on your resume and use what Angie said as well. That's perfect. The other thing...
Is a spin that's useful, but it seems like if you've just graduated from an MBA program, one possible spin is that, you know, you have the most current best practices, that kind of knowledge versus I think sometimes in management positions, other people might have 10 years experience. It's not up to date or flexible. So someone who's, you know, maybe doesn't have that experience but the knowledge is the better candidate.
Yes.
Definitely. And also, you know, managerial skills, it's a lot of people work, you know, so if you're good with people, you know that you can be a good manager. And one thing that my boyfriend told me that you might want to repeat in your head is that the older you get, the more you realize that most of the people out there are a bunch of boobs. And if they can do it, then you can definitely do it, you know? A lot of managers are assholes, you know, and you can be better than that. So even though if you have 10 years experience, if you're a jerk and everyone hates you,
right.
It doesn't make you a good manager, right?
Yep. I think that's what I like, the boobs and the assholes, because it's true. So, Michael, for you, I think these are both really good ideas. One, that you've got the cutting-edge knowledge and expertise. And two, you know, like, I'm not sure off the top of my head right now, you know, how to say that. And, you know, like, most managers are jerks. You know, no, we're not saying that. But it's convincing somebody and, explaining to them that that's the case, that it's, yes, experience is valuable, but it's not the only thing. Okay? The other thing that I would add to this, and we're getting off the empowering belief a little bit, but this is important and relevant, is I would try, you know, anything that you've done, even if it's not managing people necessarily, but managing projects or managing your team at school, like anything that you can say, if we stretch the definition of management, you know, managerial skills, that you can say, I would put it down. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's in a volunteer capacity or, you know, a team of people at school, whatever it is, I would also see if you can, you know, think out of the box in terms of how you can define this management experience, too. Don't define it too narrowly, okay?
Gotcha.
So are you set with a new empowering belief for yourself? You know what you need to do to create it and stick it on your fridge?
Yes.
Okay. So that is one of your homework assignments, Michael, for next week, to get this one up on your fridge. Angie, let's go to you. So disempowering belief first.
Pursuing my true interests will not be financially rewarding.
This is usually a big one. Okay. And how, if you listen to this, what would happen?
It means that I would screen everything by this kind of formula of, does this equal X salary versus, you know, pursuing something that I really want and finding a way to make it financially fit and rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So that's how it would get in your way, might preempt some possible ideas. Mm-hmm. And so is it true? Is the disempowering belief true?
I don't think so, no.
Good. What is your new empowering belief that you came up with?
I feel safe pursuing what I really want and know that it will be financially rewarding and fulfilling.
And do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, you sound pretty solid in it.
Yeah.
So remember, and this goes for all of you, remember that when you come up with your new empowering belief, you have to actually believe it. You have to say, yes, that is true, and it makes me feel 100% better. Or at least 60% better, okay? All right. So Angie, where will you put this up? We've got from Michael and Alexandra that the refrigerator seems to be a good place for them.
Why you want food?
I think for me it might have to be the bathroom mirror.
Okay. I have a lot of women choose that one. It's usually the fridge for guys and bathroom mirror for women. Okay, so one of your assignments, and actually this is an assignment for everybody, is to put your new empowering belief up on your fridge or bathroom mirror. And this goes for any disempowering belief that you have. Did you guys come up with more than one disempowering belief?
Mm-hmm.
You did, Angie?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Michael?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Good in the sense that you did the homework. Not necessarily good that we have them, you know, because they suck. But do the same thing, if you haven't already, for all of your disempowering beliefs. And I would make a list, like it's a post-it note or something that has each of these things. I wouldn't suggest having more than, say, four on there because it can get overwhelming. And at some point, you're just going to want to open the refrigerator and get your lunch. You know, you can't read through all these things, okay? But come up with new empowering beliefs for all of your disempowering beliefs. This is mental gymnastics. And once you feel like you've got one beat, you can cross it off the list, okay? But this is something that starts now and needs to carry you through all your whole career transition and even the rest of your life, really. You need to be mindful of disempowering beliefs, especially during your career transition, because these tend to come up more because you're making a change, okay? So remember how we talked about gremlins before and how gremlins tend to talk louder and become activated when you're making a change in your life? Do you guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of? Okay, good. The reason why this happens is because you're rattling their cage. So it's actually a good sign. When you're starting to hear more disempowering beliefs, it's actually a good thing because it means you're making significant change in your life and you're stepping out of your comfort zone. Okay? All right. So one of the things, I wanted to do one little additional exercise with this disempowering beliefs idea because, and it's basically about the people in your life that tend to bring up disempowering beliefs and negative thoughts. Because we all have them to a certain extent. I mean, most people do, whether it's a parent or a friend who's just overly cautious, a negative Nelly, you know, a person like that who tends to, I don't know, make us feel bad even when they don't mean to do it. They're the people that are judging what you're doing and saying, are you crazy? What are you thinking? You can't do that. Okay? So I want you guys to write down on a piece of paper for me right now and think about this for a moment for me right now. Who are the people in your circle of friends, family, coworkers who tend to bring down your energy? Is there anybody in your life right now that tends to do that? So what would you guys say? Can you think of anybody right off the top of your head? And if you don't have them, that'd be great.
The situation.
Say more, Michael.
Well, I'll just give a recent experience. Real quick, like.
Yeah, give me a bottom line. Actually, you know what? Just tell me who it is.
It's my girlfriend.
Okay. And what happens? Like, does she say something in a given situation that's negative?
Sometimes, but it depends on when I start talking about moving out of the city or dealing with entertainment venue.
Got it. So she tends to be negative about moving an entertainment venue. Like, says it's unrealistic or something?
Kind of. It also goes into the, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot more to it since the girlfriend. Okay. So we won't go into all the details. But the point is, when she says this stuff to you, Michael, how does it make you feel?
Tied down.
Okay. We know how guys like that, right? That goes over really, really well. All right. So, Michael, good. Thank you for sharing. Let's put a hold on that for a second. Angie or Alexandra, are you coming up with any?
Well, don't feel too bad, Michael, because my boyfriend sounds the same way.
Uh-oh.
I didn't want to say it, but, you know, when you're with someone and one person wants to go, like, live in Africa, I mean, it kind of makes for awkward conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If the person that you're with doesn't want to do the same thing that you want to do.
Yeah, it does.
And then you have to feel like you're choosing between that person and what you want to do, you know?
Yeah.
True.
And you guys are in the same boat. You need to talk more about this offline. So, yeah, it can feel like you're choosing between them and your dream, and that is really, really tough. All right, so Angie, how about you?
The per- person that comes to mind is actually my mom.
Mm.
That she feels like the situation I'm in is predictable and safe and has good benefits. And so, you know, why try look for something different?
Okay, and how does that make you feel?
Unsupported.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you get why these are a problem? Do you get why having these people that you care about in your life say these kind of negative things to you? What's the problem here? Why is this bad?
It's hard to be as enthusiastic if the people that you care about don't participate in that.
Yeah. It kind of brings you down, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Anything else?
It just makes you begin to think.
Like in a bad way, like starting to doubt?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we know what happens when doubt starts to creep in, right?
Yes.
It's less likely to happen. And here's the thing, this is really tough because these people care about us, and it's not like they're out to bring us down. That's usually not the intention, okay? But it just happens because they're coming from whatever perspective they're coming from based on their relationship to you. So let's talk now about how you guys can handle this. And this is tough because, you know, and Michael and Alexandra, you see these people a lot. Angie, maybe you talk to your mom a ton. But what are some ways that you can handle these so that they're not getting in the way? Because that's we can't have this, right? So let's brainstorm some ideas. What are some ways to manage these?
I'm very selective about what I tell her.
Okay, good.
You know, so I'd rather tell her after I've changed jobs than to tell her I'm applying.
Great. So selective sharing. I like that. This is very effective. Any other ideas?
Yeah, I try that, but that gets me into trouble.
Okay, so Michael, what's another one for you? What's another option?
I'm trying to work on my open communication.
Good. Any ideas for Michael? So in addition to open communication, what else could he do? Okay, so Michael, I'm going to jump in. This is a hard one because it's not like you want to give her the boot, Michael. I'm assuming you don't. To ask her for what you need. So one of the things that you guys can do is sit down and say, look, this is the deal. Like, I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I need to be able to pursue this, and I need you to be supportive. I had a client once who's, she was in a very stable, successful job, and she hated it, and her parents thought she was nuts and said, why are you even considering leaving? This is a great job, et cetera, et cetera. She had a heart-to-heart, had a sit-down talk with them and said, look, I am miserable. I am not going to live the rest of my life like this. And I need you to be on board. I need your support. So either, you know, I don't want to talk about this anymore with you, or I need you to at least be supportive and try to see things my way and understand where I'm coming from. And they did. Because they saw and understood how important this was to her, because she really sat them down and talked to them about it, they turned around and were more supportive. So, Michael, that's an idea. Is to say, look, you know, I understand, you know, this is what you believe and everything else. And for the moment, though, I really need your support. I need you to help boost me up with this because it tends to bring me down. So having a heart-to-heart let's say it this way, ask for what you need is another option. So we've got selective sharing, asking for what you need. What are some other choices? You could not hang around them as much, right? Selective spending time with them. I'm doing that with one of my friends right now who's become really negative for some reason. Any other ideas that we haven't thought of?
I would, because one thing that I've tried doing is getting them to see what because my girlfriend, she's very low-key, constant, consistent, but she's just going with the same old flow. And I'm trying to get her to open up the opportunities in this world.
Okay.
So start opening up and saying, what is it that you really want to do?
Great. So kind of turn it back on them.
Yes.
Nice trick. I like it. No, I'm kidding. It's not. No, but this is a good, could be a good learning for her to say, hey, look, this is what I want to do. What do you want to be doing? What are your dreams? I like that. Okay, so I want you to put the name of the person and your chosen tactic to deal with this. So, Angie, for you, it's selective sharing. And you may come up with another one. You may need to ask her for what you need. We'll see. Alexandra, boyfriend, what are you going to do?
I don't know yet.
Okay. So we've got...
I'm thinking.
Okay, so you need to choose your option. Selective sharing, asking for what you need, selective spending time, turning it back on them. And Michael, what are you going to do?
I'm actually going to go with the good old heart-to-heart to ask for what you need.
Okay. I want to hear how it goes. So let us
Me
know
too.
Next time. Alexandra might need some pointers.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good. Do you guys get the importance of this? Because this can really get you down. Do you guys get it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, I wanted to say this too, the tree analogy. One thing you can do in terms of selective sharing is not tell them, like, until you're much further along. And, Angie, this is kind of what you were talking about. But so instead of when you're, like, a sapling tree and you don't have all your roots down yet, you don't have your plan quite yet, you don't know what you're doing for sure, it's okay to not tell people about it until you've gotten more solid in your plans and you have more roots on your tree. Okay? Because a lot of, it's kind of like if they came and tapped on your tree when you were a sapling, they'd push you right over, and it would freak you out. So in a lot of cases, it's better to just hold back until you have more solid roots. Okay? Okay. Are you guys ready to move on to planning a little bit for the last couple of minutes we've got here?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's the deal. I like to use, you guys need to develop your short and long-term plan for what you're going to do, because we're at that point where you've got career ideas, you're starting to apply for jobs or school, whatever the case may be, and it's time to write down a plan of, okay, these are the action steps I need to take. I personally suggest that you use the structure of 3 months, the next 3 months, what you need to do, and what you need to do for the rest of the year. So on your piece of paper where you write down next 3 months, so July, August, September, and then underneath that, another column for October, November, December. So we're breaking it down into 3 months. I just like that. If you guys like to plan differently, that's fine, but this is the structure that works best for me, and I suggest. And then once you've got your plan for the next 3 months, you can break this down into the month and the week and the day, however you want to do it, okay? So this is your action plan. So let's talk about what needs to go. Hold on, let me just think for a second. Okay, so let me step back for 1 minute. What I want to do today is I want you guys to start brainstorming ideas to get you started on your plan. But what I suggest you do is after you've brainstormed some ideas just in writing, that you put all of this into an Excel spreadsheet. So you've got a tab for your action plan, and you also have tabs for your job search with the different things that you're working on, like one tab is networking, one is informational interviews, applications, etc. I find Excel is just a really nice way to keep everything in one place and keep it organized. Okay? And remember, when you're writing down your goals and your action steps, they need to be SMART goals. So What is SMART? Do you guys know about SMART goals?
Oh, yeah.
Michael, tell us.
Well, they have to be, first of all, they have to be specific.
Specific. Good.
Measurable. Then they can either be adjustable or achievable. And then realistic and then time-oriented.
Great. Okay, so say it again for us just to make sure everybody was able to write this down.
The first one is they have to be specific. Then the second one is they have to be measurable. And then for the A, they can either be adjustable or achievable. Mm-hmm. And I think in a job hunt sense, it needs to be achievable.
Yep.
Then the R is they have to be realistic. And then time-oriented.
Great. So they have a deadline, right?
Parameters, yes.
So quick example would be I want to lose weight is not a SMART goal. It's not measurable. You don't have a number of pounds that you want to lose. It has no time frame. You didn't say by when. Now, achievable, that depends on the person and how big you are, right? This realistic and attainable thing is you with your goals, you want to push yourself a little bit to stretch out of your comfort zone, but you also want to make sure it's realistic enough that you don't create a goal that you can't achieve and you get depressed when it doesn't happen. So you need to balance that a little bit. Anybody have questions on SMART goals? Does that make sense? Did you guys get it down?
Yeah.
All right, good. Okay. So, short-term career options. So, for the next... Oh, sorry, I kind of got ahead of myself. Not necessarily under your 3 months or till the end of the year plan. You need to have... Like, put this on a different piece of paper on the back of the one you're writing on. Short-term career options and long-term vision. And let me explain this for a second. Short-term career options are for people who are not going to jump right into their next job, and that applies to a lot of us, okay? So I'll use me as an example. When I decided I wanted to be a coach and have my own business, I didn't start it like the next day and quit my job because I needed to pay my bills. So my short-term career option was my transition job, where I worked as an office manager for 2 years, part-time, while I grew my coaching practice on the side. So LaToya, for example, she has a short-term career option. Remember, she got this new job, medical recording or whatever it is, while she's learning more about image consulting and starts to take some writing classes and that kind of thing to start her business. That's her short-term option. You guys following me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for people like that, we need some short-term career options. Michael, you fall into this boat too, like FBI, something else before you do the entertainment venue. For people like Angie and Stacy, maybe, Angie, you might go right into something and this next thing might be your ideal.
Mm-hmm.
So you might not need this interim transition job. But this is part of what you guys need to be thinking about is do you need a short-term option to get you to where you want to go? Is there a step or two in between? Like Alexandra, for you, one of your short-term things would be going back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just going to dive right into it? Is that clear?
Right.
So one of the things that you guys need to think about, if you fall into the category of I need some short-term career options, you need to be thinking about what these possibilities are, okay? And at the same time, further clarifying your long-term vision, where you want to go at the end. So for you, Michael, it's entertainment venue. For you, Alexandra, it's working in Africa and educating people. You know, we've got some ideas with that, but something like the Peace Corps type of thing, that's the longer-term vision. You guys following me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Angie, for you, your long-term vision might be the job that you get in a few months.
All right.
And that's fine, but I want you guys to be mindful of this. So for you, Angie, if if you got the job and you decided, well, I need to change and tweak this a little bit, I do want to work at the CDC, but I'd actually rather be X, then the career, the job that you have turns into a short-term option. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you guys need to be thinking in terms of this is a long-term process. And I don't want you to get in this mode of thinking, well, crap, you know, I should be able to do this tomorrow. That is rarely the case for people. Rarely does someone quit a job and jump into their ideal, like, within a month or the next day. There's usually stuff that you need to, you know, make happen in between, okay? So this is part of your planning for the next 3 months, 3 to 6 months. So what are some things? Let's go back to the other side of your paper where you've got the 3 months and the end of year. What are some things that need to go on your list? And I know we're getting close to time, so let's get through this, get started at least, and we can finish it next time. So what needs to go on your list of 3 month action plans? Just blurt, give me some ideas from your own situation.
Take the GRE.
Great, put it down. So in the next 3 months, Alexandra, you will take the GRE.
End of July.
End of July.
I already signed up for it.
Love it. Good. Okay, Michael, how about you?
Getting my budget in line.
Getting your what?
Getting my budget in line, because that's a big thing right now.
Great. What's the deadline?
Hopefully by August.
Okay, put it down. Angie.
Continue to do more informational interviews with people in the government sector.
Good. And how many do you want to have by when?
I'd like to do one per week.
Nice. So we'll say by the end of July, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them, or 4 of them,
uh-huh.
Depending on if you start next week. Good. Okay, anything else that you guys can think of right now? What else might need to go on the list? I'm going to throw some out to get you started, okay? Applying for jobs. So you might say that, like Angie, there might be a certain number of jobs that you want to have applied for.
Okay.
For example. Alexandra, for you, it may be doing some informational interviews with people to learn more about the Peace Corps and everything
mm-hmm.
else to, you know, make this decision about do I do Peace Corps first or do I do something else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so informational interviews, applying for jobs, networking events, so finding associations, places where you can network with people to find out more about your career paths. And the last two things. What questions need to be answered? What questions do you have to answer for yourself in order to define the right path? So, Angie, for you it could be, is working at the CDC, is that the right work environment for me? I need to know that. Alexandra, for you it was Peace Corps versus grad school. That's a question you need to have answered. And the last thing to consider here, and you guys might have a lot more on your list, which is fine, beyond these categories, but the last thing is, what do you need to do to get these jobs? Do you need to take a class? Do you need to go back to school? Do you need to get some experience, do some volunteering? So developmental needs in order to land these jobs. Okay. Do you guys have just another minute? I do.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Michael?
Yes.
Okay, so if we can just go a little bit longer today, that would be good because I want to make sure I cover these last couple of things. All right, so for homework, another thing I want you guys to do is work on this action plan, specifically for the next 3 months. What are the other things you need to be doing and coming up with your SMART goals there and action steps you need to take, okay? And create your Excel spreadsheet. If you don't like Excel at all, put it in Word. I don't care, just as long as it's organized for you, okay? So that's one homework assignment. And start to think for me about the people that you need support from during your career transition. So who's your dream team of support? Who do you need to ask for help? to help you stay on track with your goals and action steps. And I'll send this to you guys like I do. Okay, so I wanted to let you know the agenda for our last two calls so you know where we're going here. In our next call, we're going to talk more about the plan because we didn't get to as much as I would have liked to today. We're going to talk about establishing a support system for your transition as well as talk about job search and career transition tactics. So any questions you have about resumes or interviewing or creating an effective job search strategy, that's what we're going to talk about next time. And then in our last call, we're going to discuss taking care of yourself while you're in transition. So how do you continue to deal with these disempowering beliefs? How do you take care of your finances? So looking at a financial, emotional, and mental perspective, how do you take care of yourself while you're in transition so that you stay focused, motivated, and on track and don't get derailed? Okay? It can be easy to get derailed, and obstacles will come up, and we need to talk about how to deal with them. So in our last call, we're going to discuss that as well as completing with the group and what we need to say to each other to be complete, and I'll send you something to prepare for that later on. Okay, let's go around the room here. What's the top thing that you're taking away from today, besides some managers or boobs? So, Michael, top thing you're taking away from today?
To start creating more empowering little beliefs.
Yeah. Yeah. You really need to do that because you've been in a bit of a slump lately, too. It's going to be helpful for you. Angie, how about you?
That I need to post my goals and my empowering beliefs.
Good. Perfect. Good, good, good. Bathroom mirror.
Exactly.
Alexandra, how about you?
I guess post my empowering beliefs on some mirrors and then start on my 3-month plan.
Yeah. It's time for the tangible action steps here, guys, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay, good. If you need any feedback or support from me, that's why I'm here. So send me emails, okay? And I will send you the homework as well, so you've got all of this in writing, okay?
Cool.
Thanks for your participation today, guys. It was great being with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great
Bye.
Week. Bye.